Mars has always captivated our imagination, a crimson neighbor in the night sky, promising adventure and mystery. In Ray Bradbury's masterpiece, this fascination transforms into a haunting mirror reflecting humanity's deepest flaws and aspirations. The Martian Chronicles isn't simply science fiction. It's a mythological journey spanning decades of human interaction with the Red Planet. Each interconnected story pulses with poetic language and profound insight, showing how we bring our best and worst qualities wherever we travel. The first expeditions end in tragedy. One crew dismissed as hallucinations by telepathic Martians, another executed after being lured into a psychological trap. By the third expedition, a cruel irony emerges. Chickenpox, carried unwittingly by humans, has decimated the ancient Martian civilization. This deliberate parallel to European colonization of the Americas sets the stage for humanity's unimpeded takeover of a world suddenly emptied of its original inhabitants. What happens when we're given a blank canvas millions of miles from home? Do we create something better, or simply replicate our earthly mistakes? Ancient Martians appear not as monsters, but as shadows of possibility, a million-year civilization that perfectly integrated art, science, and spirituality. When archaeologist Jeff Spender discovers their ruins, he becomes the last Martian, violently rebelling against his crewmates. They blended religion and art and science, he explains, because at base, science is no more than an investigation of a miracle we can never explain. Yet this advanced culture fell to chickenpox, a stark reminder of civilization's fragility. As humans colonize Mars, they systematically erase Martian culture. Ancient names give way to Iron Town and Aluminum City. Settlers attack the planet's strangeness with hammers and nails, building familiar Earth-style houses to obscure the alien landscape. This pattern reflects our compulsion to make the unknown familiar, imposing our vision rather than adapting. The Chronicle suggests wisdom might lie in learning from predecessors rather than erasing their memory. The most fascinating aspect of Bradbury's Martians isn't their technology, but how they function as mirrors reflecting human nature. Unlike hostile invaders common in 1950s science fiction, these telepathic beings blur boundaries between reality and perception. When Earthmen arrive, Martians see them as dangerous hallucinations and place them in asylums, a clever reversal challenging our assumptions about sanity. In The Martian, a shapeshifter unconsciously becomes whatever humans desire to see. When an elderly couple encounters him as their deceased son, their longing overwhelms reason. The creature's tragic fate, being torn apart by a crowd each seeing their own lost relative, illustrates how human expectations destroy what they claim to love. Don't we often see what we want rather than what's there? In Night Meeting, a human and Martian meet across time, each solid in his reality, but ghost-like to the other. When the Martian refuses to believe his vibrant city will become ruins, we witness how civilizations cling to perceived permanence despite contrary evidence. How many of our certainties might seem quaint to observers from another time? Mars doesn't change colonists, it amplifies who they already are. First come the pioneers accustomed to solitude, then those fleeing urban compression, followed by bureaucrats bringing the very rules settlers sought to escape. This migration pattern mirrors historical examples, showing how we carry our social structures wherever we go. In Way in the Middle of the Air, Black Americans escape Southern oppression by emigrating to Mars. When Samuel Tease attempts to prevent his worker from leaving by claiming a work contract, the scene powerfully evokes slavery's legacy. This story, often removed from later editions, represents one of Bradbury's most direct confrontations with American racism. Settlers compulsively recreate Earth on Mars. In The Green Morning, Benjamin Driscoll becomes a Martian Johnny Appleseed, planting trees to produce oxygen. After rainfall, he discovers thousands of fully grown trees appearing overnight, suggesting Mars welcomes respectful intervention. Yet elsewhere, rockets land like locusts, violently reshaping the landscape, turning rock to lava, wood to charcoal. This presents the eternal human dilemma, balancing adaptation with transformation, respecting what exists while creating what we need. Loneliness permeates the chronicles like the thin Martian atmosphere. From the terrible sensation felt by early settlers to Walter Gripp's desperate phone calls in the silent towns, Mars represents both escape and isolation, a sanctuary that becomes a prison, highlighting how distance from Earth amplifies emotional solitude. In the silent towns, Walter discovers he's the last man on Mars after everyone returns to Earth. His initial enjoyment of abandoned luxuries quickly surrenders to crushing loneliness. When he finally locates another human, Genevieve Selsor, their disappointing meeting reveals how desperation for company doesn't guarantee meaningful connection. Walter ultimately chooses solitude, settling alone in a little valley far away, where he never answers his phone. Similarly, in the long years, Hathaway creates android replicas of his dead family, preferring artificial companionship to isolation. These perfectly crafted robots maintain eternal youth while Hathaway ages, underscoring his solution's artificiality. The Chronicle suggests that space colonization's true challenge isn't technological, but emotional. Maintaining human connections across vast distances and alien landscapes. Throughout the Chronicles, Bradbury contemplates civilization's fragility. In The Watchers, colonists witness Earth catch fire and burn during atomic war. Most rush back to their devastated home, leaving Mars nearly abandoned. The automated house in There Will Come Soft Rains continues functioning in a radioactive wasteland where its inhabitants exist only as shadows burned onto walls. This house, with its paranoid security systems, represents technology divorced from human purpose. As it fights a losing battle against fire, it recites Sarah Teasdale's poem about nature's indifference to mankind's extinction. A devastating irony as a machine serving humans recites poetry about humanity's insignificance while civilization's last remnant burns. In The Million-Year Picnic, Dad explains humanity's downfall. Science ran too far ahead of us too quickly, and the people got lost in a mechanical wilderness. This represents not just technology, but the philosophical dead end of progress without purpose. A warning that resonates as our own technologies advance at dizzying speeds. Despite its bleak vision, The Chronicles ultimately offers hope through rebirth. The final story presents Mars as humanity's second chance after Earth's self-destruction. Dad burns their Earth papers, birth certificates, maps, stock certificates, tax forms, symbolically freeing his family from Earth's failed civilization. Standing by a Martian canal, the family searches for the mysterious Martians. In a profound moment, Dad shows them their own reflections in the water, declaring, "There they are, the Martians." This revelation marks both an ending and beginning. While Earth civilization has crumbled, humanity can forge a new identity on Mars. The recurring water imagery, in canals, rain, and this final reflection, reinforces themes of cleansing and renewal. As the family sees their transformed selves in ancient Martian waters, we're left wondering, given another chance, could we do better? Could we learn from Earth's mistakes and Mars's ancient wisdom? The Chronicles offers no definitive answer, but by showing humanity's capacity for both destruction and growth, it provides hope, tempered by wisdom and ambition balanced with humility. Perhaps the first step toward becoming better Martians than we were Earthlings.